But we're going to begin today by looking at how this relatively new government is treating those workers who are on minimum wage or in low paid jobs. And it's looking increasingly likely that promises that were made by the last government to the thousands of people working in retail and hospitality, the parts of the economy that we rely on every day, are now being walked back, delayed or reversed entirely. One of those promises was that Ireland would introduce a statutory right to paid sick leave, starting at 3 paid sick days per year, moving then to 5, then 7, and finally an entitlement of 10 paid sick days annually. Government confirmed this week that that plan has now been scrapped. And we also read today on the front of the Irish Daily Mail that government plans to introduce a so-called living wage next year are also in the drop zone. Well, for more on this, before we get to our panel, Dr. Laura Bambrick is Social Policy Officer with the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. She joins me now on the line. Good afternoon to you, Laura Bambrick.
Good afternoon, Colin. Good afternoon to the panel.
Can we start with that story about the planned increase to the national minimum wage and the introduction next year of a so-called living wage? They may be looking unlikely, but can you remind listeners what's meant, first of all, by the term living wage and what the commitment was on that by the last government?
Yes, yeah, so listeners will probably be more familiar with the concept of a minimum wage. So the minimum wage is the lowest rate of pay an employer can legally pay their staff. A living wage is just an adequate minimum wage. It's just ensuring that a full-time worker on a minimum wage has enough to live a decent standard of living. And so the commitment was that Ireland would turn its minimum wage into a living wage over a four-year period. This was made in 2022 when Ireland's minimum wage was at 50% median earnings. Now, the definition of a living wage would be that we'd have to get to at least 60%.
And just to put that in perspective, the median earnings in Ireland at the moment, although it varies from county to county, nationally, it's about 43,000 euro. Is that right?
Yes, but we'd be looking at the hourly rate rather than the yearly or monthly or weekly pay. So at the moment, the minimum wage is at 13.50. Now, there's some dispute about how it's calculated. So people are estimated anywhere between 57 and 59%. So if government are going to get to their commitment, and their commitment is that no worker in Ireland will earn less than an hourly living wage by the 1st of January next year, we will have to see an increase of between 5 and 9.5%. Now, in monetary terms, that's anywhere in between 70 cent an hour or 130 an hour. So splitting the difference, the same as they did last year, we'd be probably looking at an increase of about 1 euro. So the way this is done, the system of it is the Independent Low Pay Commission will make a recommendation to government on how much they need to increase the minimum wage to get to deliver on this pledge to get to a living wage. However, if the Daily Mail story proves correct and government renege on this, it would be the first time a government have turned down a recommendation from the Low Pay Commission.
Okay. And presumably you will protest in kind, will you?
Well, obviously it would be, you know, a shameful decision. But given what's happening with the uncertainty around tariffs, it's actually an economically very short-sighted decision to make, because minimum wage workers, low-income workers, spend every cent they earn. And that money goes into our local economies. They go back into those SMEs. They go back into our local coffee shop, our local retail. So we will be arguing that this is both grossly unfair to the individual worker, but really short-sighted economic for the economy.
Okay. Moving on then to the statutory entitlement of paid sick days, we do know that that's not going to increase. There won't be any increase from five. What's your reaction to that?
Well, the writing had been on the wall for this since last summer. So it was always just a case of when it would be announced rather than if it would be announced. And hat tip to the people that decided to announce this on Tuesday, when all eyes were focused onto the chaos that was happening because of the Trump administration in and around tariffs. It was completely or almost completely missed by media and members of the opposition. And those that did take it up were had a misunderstanding that what was being announced was either a pause or a further delay. But in fact, as you mentioned at the top of the program, what has been announced is that government have decided to break their promise to those low-pay essential workers that only 5 short years ago we were all reliant on while we were in lockdown. Those people that kept our supermarket stocks, those people that delivered our parcels, those people that were working in our home cares looking after...
Sir, and apologies to cut across you, who at that time had no statutory sick pay entitlement.
Absolutely. So one of the things that came from when we went into lockdown was the recognition that Ireland is completely out of line with the rest of Europe. We were one of only 3 countries, 3 EU member states, and as well up the road in Northern Ireland and across in the UK, that doesn't guarantee an employee that when they're too sick or too injured to work, that their employer is required to continue to pay their wages in whole or in part. We completely rely on the social insurance fund to do this. Now, this isn't the first time that this has been brought to government attention. 15 years ago, when the IMF were in town and they were going through the country's books, one of the things they raised is the fact that Ireland was out of line, that employers should be picking up the cost.
Out of line, sorry, do you mean internationally? How do other countries operate?
So other countries right through the EU and the wealthy English-speaking world, with the exception of the US, it would be that the employers have to pay for the initial period of sickness. So that can be anywhere between 2 weeks across in the UK and up in Northern Ireland, it's up to 6 months the employer has to pay before the social insurance fund kicks in. Instead, here, what we have done historically, it used to be 6 waiting days. And then you, if you had enough social insurance, you got illness benefit out of the fund that you had already as a worker paid into.
All right. Now, business owners will say that, you know, a combination of factors, opting into pension schemes and increases in the minimum wage and a whole lot of other things, and rising energy costs, rents, etc., mean that they're struggling and that any further burden on an employer is going to be unsustainable. What do you say to that?
Well, there are 2 main reports sitting on the Minister of Enterprise and Employment's desk. One of them is the impact assessment on what sick pay has done for business. So although we had the decision announced on Tuesday, they haven't published that report. The second report is looking at how many businesses have actually closed down in hospitality and retail. The 2 main business lobby groups that have been lobbying against improvements into workers' rights. So that report has been sitting on this minister's desk since before the election. It hasn't been published, and that will give us real information on the health of the retail and hospitality industry. Right, because the only thing we have to go on at the moment is certain lobbyist groups coming out telling us how many businesses have closed down based on social media postings. Right, the methodology that's been used.
What options were open to the government in this case then? Obviously you would say, to go to 7 days and then to go to 10 days, but to address those cost concerns, could they have been addressed another way other than cancelling the sick pay, in your view?
Well, first of all, how much is this costing business? So to increase it to from 5 to 7 days, it would have added on 0.44% onto payroll. That would have only happened if every member of staff took those two extra days, if every member of staff who went out sick got the maximum 110 euros, and if every member of staff, while they were sick, the employer had to get a replacement member of staff. So that's, first of all, the maximum amount of cost we're talking about, 0.44% if all those conditions are met. But what government could have done, they could have looked to use Section 10 of the legislation, which allows for an inability to pay clause. Now, employers, and quite rightly, might say that the bar to meet that inability to pay clause is pretty high. We could have looked to relax it, as we did during COVID times. We relaxed all kinds of rules. We could have looked to relax it for inability to pay. Instead, we've gone for the nuclear option. We've set 5 days, which has benefited all employers, big, small, profitable and struggling. Okay. We could have also looked at extending the rollout. So instead of going from 5 to 10 days over 2 days, we could have elongated that
over
period.
2 years, you mean. OK. All right. Laura Bambrick, Social Policy Officer with the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. Many thanks for joining us. Now, still listening to this, our political panel, Alan Dillon, Minister of State for Small Businesses and Retail, and Fine Gael TD for Mayo. In our Galway studio, Cathy Bennett, Sinn Féin TD for Cavan Monaghan, and Gary Gannon, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Central. Alan Dinner, we'll go to you first on this. You're Minister of State at the Department of Enterprise. Can I ask you firstly about that story today on the front of the Daily Mail? Can you confirm that the living wage, which was due to come into effect next year, that now won't happen?
Well, good morning, Colm. And firstly to say the government is fully committed to fair wages for all. And we've seen a 56% increase in the minimum wage since the establishment of the Low Pay Commission back in 2015. And over 200,000 people have directly benefited from increase in their wages. Within the programme for government, we have a commitment that recognises the role of the independent Low Pay Commission, ensuring that there's fair wages, while also ensuring that we can support the viability of small businesses and retail. And if you look at this in the overall context and what we've done in recent years, we have increased the minimum wage. We've certainly given businesses huge supports, over 400 million euros in the last 12 months through the increased cost of business grant and the power-up grant. We've helped with entry cost, and we've also implemented key legislation to protect
workers. Sure, but
workers.
You'll appreciate that I need to press you on this because people are waking up this morning and maybe going into their news agents and seeing the front page of a newspaper that says that the living wage is not going to rise on the timeline that the government had committed to, namely that it would be from 2026 a living wage set at 60% of the median wage. Is that going to happen?
Well, currently we're awaiting the Low Pay Commission's report. And we make recommendations on the minimum wage. And that will be presented to government in July this year.
Is there not a report from the Low Pay Commission already with you since October?
It will be received. Government is reviewing it and will make a decision in relation to any changes to the minimum wage.
But just to be clear, is there a completed report that has been with you since October, which you are considering that you have yet to make a decision on?
But there's two reports, Colm, in relation to the impact of closures, both in the retail and hospitality sector, and also the impact of sick pay to the various sectors or to the employers. But just in relation to the minimum wage, this government and previous governments have always honoured the recommendations. In the past, as I said, we have had a 56% increase in the minimum wage. It now stands at 13.50. And my department, and I know Minister Burke, will scrutinise the report when it's presented by the Low Pay Commission and make any adjudication as part of the budgetary decisions for 2026.
Right. Did it come up at the... was it discussed at the Cabinet Committee on the Economy last week?
It wasn't, Colm. It's Minister Burke that will present this. So I suppose the decisions lie with Minister Burke, and I'm not privy to them as I don't sit at the Cabinet table.
Okay. I do want to ask you, before I come to the rest of our panellists, that it still appeared that this was going to happen back in July when Peter Burke was answering questions on the minimum wage and the living wage back, as I say, last July. But on your website in October, you said the Minister for Enterprise will announce a review of the cost base of businesses and timelines for a living wage, etc., to ensure the pace is much more appropriate. More appropriate than what?
Well, certainly we are talking to businesses on a daily basis. We're understanding the challenges that some businesses are grappling with in relation to energy price hikes, rise in labour costs, etc. And I think it's only prudent for the government to make decisions based on facts based that are evidence-based. And indeed, in relation to the sick pay, you know, the reality faced by many businesses is that, especially those with low pay workers that have low yield, was an increase in the sick pay would have an unintended consequence on small businesses like those in retail and hospitality. And I think, you know, for this government, it is only proper and right to strike the balance between, you know, workers' protections, but also ensuring that we have viability around businesses.
Gary Gannon, let's deal with the living wage issue first. I'll come back to you on the sick leave proposals. But on that living wage, I mean, the doubt that's cast by the sources that are talking to the Daily Mail today, what do you make of that?
Unfair, grossly unfair. And the fact that we can't answer a question in relation probably is not acceptable. I mean, the living wage is exactly that. It's a wage that's calculated based on the fact that there are workers in this country, over 200,000, who are going to work and can't afford to meet basic necessities. I mean, that is the reality. That's why the Low Pay Commission are making the recommendations. That is a commitment that the government has made. It's certainly one that can't be abdicated from. The lived reality of people going to work, living in poverty, not being able to afford basic necessities, that needs to be addressed as a matter of urgency. And I mean, it's not fair for workers to wake up this morning and see the front of a newspaper. Many are probably working in the shop in which the newspaper is there, and seeing the fact that any sense that he had that he might get an increase on their bare minimums, I just think that is really unfair way to treat workers. Topping on to that, then the statutory sick pay coming in. I mean, this is a centre-right government demonstrating a very centre-right attitude towards workers' rights and commitments. It's another broken promise from the election. I mean, if this is an issue that the government felt is necessary, it should have been one that was presented by both Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Lowry Group in the lead up to the election.
You'll have heard Laura Bambrick saying there that this story came out during the week and there wasn't much reaction from opposition politicians or indeed the media. So to be clear, on the sick pay entitlement, what is your position on that?
I mean, on the sick pay entitlement, my position is very clear. It should be brought up to 7 and then brought up to 10 eventually. But I mean, this is also an issue of public health. I mean, we saw through the pandemic that people should not be going to work if they are sick, and that should just be something that we just accept as a matter of course. We also need to take ourselves up and recognise that we're out of alignment in terms of EU norms for statutory sick pay. I mean, how is that acceptable?
All right, Cathy Bennett, what's your party's view on this? Because your party spokesperson on this, Johnny Mython, put out a statement saying that there needed to be a move to 7 days. Is that the cap, or does your party also want to see it go ultimately to 10?
Well, of course we'd love to see it go into 10.
Johnny Gourke, apologies.
Yeah. Well, Leo Varadkar would promise this, you know, before the elections and in the last few years, that it would go from 7 till 10. So we are committed to ensuring that the government, you know, that we stand up against the government and then that they fulfil their commitments that they made before the elections. Fine Gael, backed up now by Fianna Fáil, are hiding behind a convenient cloak of tariffs to roll back the commitments of workers, and that's what they're standing behind this week, thinking nobody will notice. They signalled this a few months ago that it would go to the 7 days, and of course we want the 10 days column for workers. By delaying the increase, the government's sending out a clear message that it prioritises the employer's convenience over the well-being of workers. So I suppose Sinn Féin, in particular my colleague Louise O'Reilly, repeatedly called on Fine Gael, and she called this out in October in the run-up to the election, that they would commit to the 10 days, and they still haven't done that.
It's gone. I mean, they've said it's going to stay at 5. But on the living wage proposals there, it was supposed to come in 2026. It appears from the sources talking to the Mail that there's some doubt over this. What have you got to say on that?
Well, I think the government government must absolutely meet their commitments on the minimum wage. These workers are in their most precarious in the economy. It is often seen that they pay the most extortionate rents. There are the frontline workers, the cost of living crisis, they're mostly affected by it. Sinn Féin have proposals on the tables if the government's trying to hide behind businesses. We put proposals on the table to reduce VAT rates to 9% for the hospitality industry, for lowering employers' PRSI contributions, for the PRSI reduction would cost 640 million in 2025 and 605 million for the VAT reduction. So it is affordable and the government could do this and they could look after businesses as well as employees. Right, but they've moved on the
VAT issue, but obviously what the government is saying is that's not enough and they need to cancel this too.
No, they shouldn't need to cancel it. They're not looking after their workers. And if they don't have the workers, what do they have at the end of the day? A starting point, I suppose, must be that workers and their families should not be the first in line for cuts. It's the first, they're the first person always targeted is low income earners, and it shouldn't be that way.
All right. I just want to go back, Alan Dillon, on the issue of the statutory sick pay, because Minister Peter Burke said that on the paid sick leave, said research by the Irish Government Economic and Evaluation Service and the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment on sick leave in Ireland found that firms in the retail, accommodation and food services sector are likely to be more affected should the statutory sick leave entitlement increase from 5 days to 7 days. That would suggest that by their calculations, the sick days would be taken up and might suggest an increase in the entitlement is needed by workers in those areas.
Well, Colin, we're maintaining the 5 day period. And, you know, if you reach the 5 day period, no worker will be left high and dry. There is the illness benefit that can be applied for after day five. So no worker will be left without a payment after such. But I think it's really important to, you know, understand that the decision was based on the evidence presented, as you said, by the extensive research conducted by our department and by the Irish Government Economic and Evaluation.
Can you appreciate that the optics of this are not good? We saw travel and subsistence allowances being restored to junior ministers at the outset of this Dáil, which is a hefty sum, and people who are in minimum wage environments are not getting an extra 2 days of paid sick leave.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but it is the responsibility of our department to ensure from the viewpoint of supporting businesses and especially those who are most vulnerable and to ensure their viability. And it's really important that we actually make evidence-based decisions and certainly
we have a listener in touch here. Richie has got in touch to say the government has no problem in giving a hike in the salary given to extra junior ministers they appointed. Junior ministers are getting an extra €45,846 on top of their TD's salary. I mean, there was a calculation had to be done on that as well. Was that evidence-based or was that simply to put a coalition together?
No, well, we are certainly, you know, obviously looking at this again and keeping it under review. But, you know, currently with the economic realities that are faced by many businesses, many of those in retail, in hospitality, in food services, it is not the right time to make this increase. And we want to strike the balance between protecting workers and ensuring the sustainability of businesses. And as I said earlier, this government and especially Fine Gael, you know, we have been to the fore to ensure many have received fair wages. We've seen a 56% increase in the minimum wage since 2015 to 1350.
And again, we want to continue. I do want to go to the other panelists. If this Gary Gannon is in support of the viability of businesses, it's there to secure the jobs. I suppose better a job, the argument might go, than being entirely reliant on benefits.
Yeah, and I think Laura Bamberg, in your opening contribution, I think she really eviscerated that logic by demonstrating that we actually don't have that evidence yet of how many businesses are presently unviable. I mean, we understand that there has been business lobbyist groups who have been also campaigning for a reduction of standards for workers' rights, who have made claims. I meet businesses every single day. That's why we also call for the reduction in the VAT rate. We understand businesses need the support. But equal to that is that workers need to be supported, and this is a reduction in workers' rights and an erosion.
Cathy Bennett.
Yeah. I believe that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are back at their old tricks here and possibly going to cause a crisis here, you know, if they do not give people the increase that they're entitled to. So for me, you know, the government absolutely have to meet their commitments and meet the minimum wage.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this and hearing from the Special Rapporteur on Child Protection, who has some concerns on new Department of Education guidelines on when and how a child can be restrained in school.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.